Our scripture this morning is Luke 14, 25 to 35. It's on page 739 in the Pew Bible, and I'm going to ask David to come forward and read that for us. Thank you, David.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning again.
The passage in the Pew Bible is titled, The Cost of Being a Disciple. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish the rest, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, This fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a declaration while the other is still a long way and ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who do not give up everything, he has not become my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? If it is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile, it is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, David. So, as we've been making our way with Jesus through Luke 9 through 19, we know that as Jesus walked from Galilee to Jerusalem, he was discipling those who were with him. At the point where we are this morning in the Gospel of Luke, great crowds are now traveling with him. He is accompanied by great crowds. However, there is a big difference between walking behind Jesus or walking with Jesus and following after Jesus or walking in Jesus' steps. Have you ever heard of someone who paid for expert advice? It could be legal advice. It could be financial advice. It could be mechanical advice. It could be medical advice. They pay an expert, and then they choose to disregard it, trusting their gut and guile instead. People do it all the time, especially with spiritual and scriptural matters. Hearing from God and heading in the opposite direction. Or picking and choosing what days they are going to walk with him. Or taking the lead and saying, I've got it from here. I've walked this path long enough that I know where you're headed. And forgetting who's in charge, who the expert of our spiritual and soul life is. Jesus doesn't want us to simply walk with him for a while. He wants us to follow him for eternity. So he speaks to the crowds, and he speaks to us, and tells us all, if you will listen, these are the steps to follow. This is what it means to follow Jesus. And the first thing he says is that following Jesus means foregoing security. Let me read what David read earlier. Verse 26, if anyone comes after me, or comes to me, sorry. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So the question is, what is Jesus saying by such a harsh word as hate? Because Scripture commands us to honor our parents. Scripture demands that we love our wives, that we honor and respect our spouses, that we care for and love our children, that we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So, is the Scripture saying, despite the fact that it says that we ought to love one another, that really we ought to hate one another? And I don't think that's the case. Surely this term that is being used here does not mean what Webster would define as having intense hostility and aversion, usually derived from fear, anger, or injury. Does not mean extreme dislike or antipathy. Instead, we have Deuteronomy 33:9, which says roughly the same thing in just a different phrase. Deuteronomy 33:9 says this. These are the final words of Moses to the tribes of Israel. And among the things he says to the tribe of Reuben, he says this. He said of his father and mother, I have no regard for them. He did not recognize his brothers or acknowledge his own children. So as we think about this passage in light of the fullness of Scripture and what Jesus is saying, he's reiterating what Moses said, that we should have no regard or recognition or acknowledgement. And ultimately, what is he actually saying, I believe, is this. Amidst the trials and the temptations and the troubles that come with following Jesus, we cannot have a plan B. We cannot say, if this doesn't work out, I always can go home. I always can say, well, my parents or my spouse or my children will provide for me if this doesn't pan out. What it's saying is, when we follow Jesus, we trust him with everything. I'm not even going to consider the other relationships I have when things go bad. Because we rarely think about turning away from Christ, not following him when things are going good. When things are going great, we're like, yes, sign me up. When things are going bad, we say, well, maybe I can go home. Lost my job because of my faith. I can always go home. Lost my friendships. I can always go home. And what Jesus is saying, trust me. If we are a disciple, if we are a follower of Jesus, when God calls us, our alliances become secondary. Because God will always lead us in the path that is best for us. And if we turn away and say, I don't like where you're headed, I'm going to go back home, we may miss out on the very best that God has for us. It's a willful decision to trust the Lord instead of trusting in our relationships. Secondly, following Jesus means facing self-sacrifice. Again, Jesus says, verse 27, and anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. We must carry our own cross. Similar to saying that we are putting our head on the chopping block. A willful suppression of our instinct for self-preservation. I was reading this week, posted it on social media, an article by Vasil Ostriai. It was written on February 24th. February 24th was the day that Russian bombs began to attack the southeastern part of Ukraine. Vasil Ostriai wrote this: my wife and I have decided to remain in our city near Kyiv. We want to serve the people here along with Irpin Bible Church, where I joined the pastoral team in 2016. In anticipation of coming disaster, we've bought a supply of food, medicine, and fuel so that, if necessary, we'll be able to help those in need rather than burden them. Here is someone who says, Christ has called me to this city. And I may lose my life, but I will not forgo his calling. As a matter of fact, I will intentionally decide that I am willing to sacrifice and buy what is necessary so that I can help others and in no way burden those with little. That's what it means to take up our cross. It's not a minor petty annoyance. It is to say, I am willing, I am prepared, I am equipped to die. If we are a disciple, when God calls us, our safety is secondary. And that requires us to believe that he is our refuge and strength and stronghold. And that there are situations that we will get in that we may not get out of. And he says, if you are not comfortable with that, don't follow. It's a willful decision to trust the Lord instead of trusting ourselves. Thirdly, following Jesus means finishing strong. Jesus shares two stories, but both of them have the same pattern. If you're going to do something, and it is significant, building a tower would have been significant. Entering into war is significant. What's the first thing you do? You sit down and you assess. And you say, Is it worth signing on? We calculate the costs of finishing what we have started. If I start to build this tower, will I be able to finish? Do I have the cost? Do I have the resources? Because that's going to determine my course of action. Am I ready to finish? Because what will happen is people will look at you and say, look at that. He had a great foundation, but he couldn't finish. And who wants that? Oh, that was a great start. Too bad they couldn't finish. There's a cost of surrendering to a stronger authority. And that's the parable of the warring king, who also sits down, who also calculates his forces and assesses his ability to finish, who then determines his course of action. Do I think I'm strong enough? Or should I send a delegation and work out terms for peace? Because the last thing I want to do is enter into a war that I can't win. Ultimately, Jesus says here, in the same way, verse 33, in the same way, any of you who do not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. And what he is talking about is denouncing or renouncing your possessions. Are you willing to take everything you have to finish what you have started? If we are a disciple, then when God calls us, our aspirations are secondary. We don't know what the decision is. I want to build a tower, but maybe that's not God's plan. I want to go against this warring faction, but maybe that's not God's plan. I want to finish what God has called me to do. That's where we go. Maybe God is calling us to build a tower, but we have to build a tower that we are called to build. Not the tower I want to build, but the tower God calls us to build. If we're going to take on an opposing force, it needs to be a force that we can be equipped to defeat. Not what I want to do. I want to be the greatest warrior of all time. Nope. God's given me the ability to work peace in this situation, to broker peace. It's not what about our aspirations, but about God's calling. This means that we accept that the steps of the righteous are ordered by God and trust the Lord instead of our own intent. Finally, following Jesus means fostering saltiness. Be who you are. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's good neither for the soil or the manure pile. It is thrown out. Sodium chloride is great, and was greater back 2,000 years ago. It was a preservative. It was an antiseptic. It was a flavoring. It was a seasoning, a accent. But if salt isn't salt, and I don't know how salt doesn't stay salt. Sodium chloride is sodium chloride no matter what. But if you have, you know, it snowed not long ago. We throw salt out on the pavement to keep the ice down and melt. And if we were to scoop up what wasn't melted, just keep scooping it up and throwing it back out there. Scoop it up, throw it back out there. Scoop it up, throw it back out there. After a while, we may be saying it's salt, but it isn't salt. It's dirt that has little or no salt left in it. It's contaminated. It's adulterated. It's added to. And that's what I think Jesus is saying. Be who you are. Because saltless salt won't preserve and won't cleanse and won't season and won't enrich. And there is little that is worse than thinking something will do its job but doesn't. That you are thinking this salt is going to purify or preserve. And it's like, oh, nope, it went bad. Oh my goodness, that's even worse. I would have eaten it fresh if I didn't have salt. Now I've just made a mess. Ultimately, what I think Jesus is saying here is that undisciplined disciples are like unsalted salt. Everyone around them thinks, oh, here comes a follower of Christ. Here comes someone that can preserve or cleanse or season. But then they don't. It's almost worse. It is worse. Here's someone who will give us hope, but they don't have hope themselves. And again, it goes back to what I said at the beginning. Maybe they're walking in the same direction as Jesus, but they are walking their own path. And maybe some will be misled. If you are a disciple, when God calls us, our fidelity comes first. Our faith comes first. It leads us to following Jesus when we say we follow Jesus. Our sermon in a sentence is this: following Jesus requires us to leave all the rest. Disciples, or students, or apprentices, or acolytes of Jesus cannot go home when things get tough, cannot cry uncle if they get hurt, cannot demand a do-over if they run short of resources. No, we leave all these things and take up the tasks of Christ to preserve, to cleanse, to season, and to enrich the lives of those around us. We trust that God will grant us security and safety and success. We trust that he will grant us all we need for life and for godliness. We trust him enough to consider the cost and commit. Following Jesus requires us to leave all the rest. Shall we pray?